to this week's edition of A Degree of Interest with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Nicolette Mifsud. Now, I haven't seen you for ages, and that's because, well, pretty much because, you've been studying here at University of Malta. So tell us about what you've been studying and why you chose to do it.
Okay, archaeology and anthropology.
Okay, big one. Mm-hmm.
And then I opted for the honours in archaeology. I was torn between perhaps doing a double honours, but it wasn't available at the time.
Okay.
And then Professor Clough passed away, and I just did it for me. I said, okay, fine, it's archaeology it is.
Okay.
Boats, I'm very passionate about boats sort of areas, and it just keeps on growing. And the more you study, the more you get involved, so the more doors open up for you.
So you decided to do this, how many years ago would it have been now?
Three
years ago. Okay, yeah. So you did the full COVID experience as a student.
Yes.
But how did you come to choose the subject in the first place?
Well, I've always been very, very interested in archaeology. My true passion has always been medicine, but I missed that boat. That ship sailed. So once it was my turn to have at it again, I picked archaeology.
So this is once the kids have grown up, a bit more independent, doing their own thing.
Yeah, we shan't be talking about how old I am.
No. Lips are sealed. Lips are sealed. So then you decided, no, I've got time for myself. I can do this.
No, I don't have time for myself. I made time for myself.
There you go. There's the key.
Yeah.
Do you think that's quite important that you have to be
determined? It's crucial. It is. You know, you really have to find time for you. You get lost along the way. So, yeah.
Okay. And so this time presented itself, course presented itself to you.
Yeah.
And how did you go about applying and things then? Is it relatively easy to, you know, when you've not been in the system forever?
Well, it was slightly strange. In fact, when I joined this course, the other students, I was going to call them children, the other students, they were my daughter's age. So, yeah, it was like going to school with my kids. Mm. Most of the preparation work to get to uni, to get to sixth form, whatever, I did it with my children. I've got four kids. So I've got four kids, mm-hmm. a grandson, three dogs, two cats, and a husband.
So quite busy.
Yes.
Quite busy. Uh-huh. Okay.
So the actual applying process was fine. It was pretty simple. It was getting down and dirty and studying and getting back into it. Yeah. I never stopped reading. I always love reading one thing or another, but reading for pleasure and reading for academia is, you know, two different things completely.
So do they provide you with a reading list at the beginning of your course, and then you're like, oh, okay, got to get through this and my fun time is over?
No. I love reading, as I said. So it was fine. It was just bizarre how the rest of the students didn't think they needed to read. So, I don't know, it was like I was Mrs. M, who, you know, so what do we have for homework tomorrow? You know, what's happened? I was always the organized one. So what I was doing for my children, I was doing for my fellow students as well.
So, just expanding your family.
Expanding my family.
Did you find doing this as a mature student was probably better than doing it as a 20-something?
Two different things, I would say.
Okay.
I would see the rest of the students and I would think, oh, that's what I missed out on. When I didn't do it first time round.
But the fun stuff or the...
Yeah, the social life, the social aspect, the holistic view of what it means to be a university student. But going to university isn't just about that. It's about the love of the subjects you've picked and what you want to do with yourself in the future as well. And the love of the subject, and that's exactly what I wanted. I knew I wanted this. It was a no-brainer. There was no way I was going to start a course and not complete it. You know, you don't change horses midstream. So that was it.
That was it. But the fun stuff, I think, because I'm from the UK, so when you would go to university, you would move away from home and you'd have this whole another experience. Yeah. Whereas in Malta, it seems obviously different because most kids come home at night and they don't have quite the opportunity for mischief and the fun and the having to make it on your own. You don't have your budgets. You don't have the same sort of
But they also experience. Don't have the maturity to be able to focus on what they need to do. And most of them end up changing courses or giving up halfway through, not taking an interest in their subjects. There was one student, actually, the day before an exam, and I said, are you prepared? She said, yes, I wikied the shit out of it. Can I say that?
You wikied it?
Yeah. I was like, wiki? Are you serious? Yeah. So perhaps being more mature allows you to see things in a different vein, you know. you know your target, you know how to achieve it, and you follow the steps.
Yeah, I found that because I did a master's a few years ago, and it was knowing, or it felt like I sort of knew the key points I had to get across.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff you wanted to learn for yourself, but actually to pass, there were certain things you just had to have in your paper.
Exactly.
So that's quite different. But also, as a mature student, like, you had family.
Oh, yeah.
You have, you know, a home to run and all of those things. So were you studying at stupid times of day and night?
Pretty much. Everything needed to get done, and everything that could have gone wrong during my degree did. I mean, for Christ's sake, we had a bloody pandemic to add insult to injury. So, yeah. But yes, no, it's a lot of juggling.
Mm.
It is a lot of juggling. It's time management. That's something I really had to be strict about. The kids got it, you know, and so did my husband. They knew that this was something Mummy just really wanted to do, and they were going to support her,
uh-huh.
which they did beautifully. So it was lovely.
So it made, did they pick up sort of extra chores and things like that for you, so you had extra time?
Oh, no. No, we're still dealing with, you know,
the same
old, same old. But, you know, they did get it.
You just managed, okay.
I managed.
And how much time did you think you took? Did you have, like, full-time lectures or everyday lectures?
Yes, no, full-time, every day, different hours of the day. Schedule was different only if, for instance, you had exams at the end of the term for that particular course, or if it was just an assignment or perhaps a presentation. But with COVID, it became much harder.
Mm.
We, you know, had open book exams, which I just couldn't understand. I was like, how can you have an open book exam? Right. It's just like an assignment, same concept. But so things were very different. They were, but, you know, the professors, everybody, everybody mustered and they helped.
Uh-huh. Do you sort of, now that you've finished and having had to do part of it through the pandemic, would you want to go and do something else not through a pandemic so that you're there in real life for the whole?
I don't think it really made a difference.
Okay.
Being in the classroom then versus being online. For me, my focus was always the lecture, what's
yep.
happening. It wasn't about, let's make plans to go and grab drinks after.
Okay.
You know, so it is, I know it sounds really nerdish, but it's true. That was, there were another couple of mature students in my class, and sort of we made friends, but it only lasted as long as the course did.
Mm.
You know, it's sort of brothers in arms, sisters in arms. We knew what the other was going through. Well, you know, chores at home. And one of us actually got pregnant during her course as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yes. No, I'm not going to say. Should have been doing the homework.
Yeah.
But was there aspects of studying that you discovered that you weren't expecting, perhaps?
It was funny. So in class, there I was writing, pencil in hand, you know, and paper, and you could hear click, 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 click. Everybody's typing. And I'm like, why are you typing? I used to take notes by writing them. Typing was never a thing. And I still didn't change it, so very old school. There actually is one thing I missed during the pandemic, access to the library.
It's the university library here.
Oh, I need to smell a book and feel a book. I can't, for the life of me, read it online again. It was too much digital input. Yeah. So, yes, no, that I missed, but everything else was okay.
No, I find taking a physical note as well, you record it more easily.
Yeah.
And if I'm typing, you're looking at the screen and not looking at the...
Oh, it's the difference between a fine motor skill and a gross motor skill.
Mm.
You know, one, when you're really putting the emphasis on it, you're learning as you go along. The other one, you're more focused on, you know, are you hitting the right keys?
Yeah, because my typing's not very accurate, so
my
notes wouldn't be very helpful.
No.
And do you mind map and things, or do you literally take longhand sort of notes? Do you do lots of
scribbles? I have my own
shorthand.
Yes,
okay. You understand.
I understand. It's an organised mess.
Uh-huh. But makes sense to you, and that's
complete.
All that counts.
Yeah, yeah. Very cryptic. You'd never read it.
So did you struggle to find what your thesis was going to be on, or did you pretty much know from the beginning and everything you built around?
No, I started the course thinking, right, bones is my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really strange.
But maybe the medical love in me sort of took me that way. But I ended up writing my thesis on the polyvalent goddess Ashtarte, the Phoenician goddess.
Okay.
Yeah. And her journey across the Med, you know, from Lebanon's shores all the way to Spain.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And it was such a challenge, and I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Okay.
The bottom line is, don't say, I'm only doing this, or I only like this. You know, open your mind and see what else there is out there.
Okay, because the thing you're interested in, you could probably read about anyway, in reality.
Which I already had, so.
Yeah. It would have been too easy for you, and it needs to be a bit more of a challenge.
It did.
So, I've forgotten the lady you focused on. Sorry.
Ashtarte.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, now I need to read up about her, so I should have read up about her before.
She's aces, I tell you.
And have you been able to visit, or have you got plans to visit the places that she came from and went to?
I did. I was in Rhodes last summer, so yes, but that was after my course. But during the course, there was this whole plan. Yes, I'm traveling there, I'm going to go there, I'm going to read this, I'm going to go to that museum. And obviously nothing came to be. We're in lockdown.
Yeah. So a bit disappointing in that sense. But at least now when you go, you have a greater appreciation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And can imagine them there.
Yes, it is.
How did you come up with that idea?
My professor, Nicholas Vella, he just has this gift when he's giving out a lecture. It was one of the very first things he said about, we actually don't know what she looks like. We don't know who she is. So I set out to try and prove it.
Mm. And?
Well, I think I did.
Yes.
But it's just my humble undergrad degree that backs what I say.
But are you planning to do more? Because you said you went on to do the honours with archaeology. Is that something you're currently studying, or is that something that was also finished?
No, it's finished. Second year, you pick whether you're going to take the honours route or you're going to.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did. I picked archaeology.
Uh-huh. And the graduation ceremony, was that fun, or was that...
Again, COVID boring.
But
yeah.
Okay.
But at least we got to graduate.
Yes.
So, you know, unlike the year before us, they had to wait another full year before they actually could graduate. Poor them. But yeah, no, we did. We managed. It was very satisfying to put on that toga and say, you know, I did this. I managed.
I did. So what are you doing with your new findings, your new learnings now with your degree? What's on the cards for you?
I'm still free to choose what I'd like to do. There aren't that many opportunities in this country, unfortunately, in terms of archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
It still is a case of who you know. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. But I am volunteering.
Okay.
So I'm doing a lot of volunteer work. I'm volunteering at the moment with the University of Malta in conjunction with the Max Planck Institute.
Okay.
And we're working on a particular project, which I'm not allowed to discuss. So, yeah, I'm doing that, and it's fantastic. So I'm still linked to what I studied, and I'm still learning every single day.
So do you roll, or should I say, you know, use part of this as your reasons for traveling now? Do you go away and think, oh, there's a site there, I want to go and have a look?
Oh, yeah.
There's a museum.
Yeah, I've done that. It's just, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to keep on doing that.
Well, that's the good thing. At least there's a beauty that you have that interest that can take you anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Anywhere in the world.
Literally basically. Anywhere.
And keep going.
Even though I'm rather fond of the first millennium BC, so... Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't think that to look at you. If you've just joined us, you're listening to me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Nicolette Mifsud on A Degree of Interest. So your archaeology degree is now sort of done and dusted, pardon the pun. Are you planning to do more study after this?
Oh, yeah. My master's.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking osteology, but I'm not sure yet. Yeah, I know. There isn't one in Malta.
Okay, so it's difficult.
There is one for archaeological practice, which they're opening again, I believe, September of this year. So I might go for that. Still haven't decided, though, yet.
Mm-hmm. So you do this voluntary work through the summer and then see...
Yeah, but little different projects as well. There's a dig site going on in Tel Edesh in Israel, which I was part of in my first year of university, and I'm planning to go back again. So, you know, volunteering on different sites. I'd love to be employed, though, by the way.
So do this as a full-time.
As a full-time thing, yeah. It's just the opportunity to do that. It hasn't
presented itself yet.
Just yet.
But I suppose in Malta, I can't say we know everything that there is, but with...
No, we don't. We know nothing. we budget more money for the flowers and a roundabout than we do for our own cultural heritage.
Is archaeological travel something a lot of people do? Because obviously museums are always full wherever you go in the world. So it's not something, not necessarily in Malta, but in other countries, does it have a draw that people would go and see?
And several overseas people do that quite regularly. Even locally, you've got many archaeologists and professionals whose passion takes them far away from our local shores. Uh-huh. You know, we've got a lot of history. Yes, it is. It's fascinating, but not many people focus on it.
But so how did you come up? Because this is what always fascinates me when I talk to anybody who's studied, and I did entrepreneurship, so I was kind of stuck. But if when you start doing your thesis prep, do you know you're going to have to go and work in different countries? Is that part of the appeal, or is that something that just comes up? Is that part of the work you have to do to find these sites?
You don't have to travel to finish your thesis. No, not at all.
And it should be a brilliant part of it, surely part of the...
It should be, but it's not. You don't need to. It's not a prerequisite. It's not even recommended or suggested. So it's all about books. Lots of book work. So
that's a shame almost, because as much as I love books, you know, seeing something in real life and actually having real hands-on experience must give you a different appreciation of the course that you're
studying. But luckily there are many students here locally who participate in the Erasmus year.
Yes,
so they get that.
They go off and do
that. Uh-huh. So they don't necessarily need it for their thesis.
Because that would be so for me, part of that would attract you is that you know that you've got to go away. And
I'd want to, but it was going to be out of my own pocket. It wasn't something university was sort of
pay for as well.
Funding and paying for. So it was just my genuine interest in wanting to be in these different places.
And you said this happened in your first year anyway, so by then you may not have had your knowledge of what you were going to be focusing on in your third year, essentially.
No, exactly. Well, you know more or less. I mean, you start... everybody sort of does this. They start writing questions and thinking, right, can I figure out the answer to this? Can this be the title of my thesis? And you sort of work on it that way. Then you figure out who's going to be your supervisor and discuss it with them.
Okay.
And take it to the next step forward.
Forward. And so what's next? You said you're going to do the master's. Hopefully.
Yeah.
How long would that take you? What does that involve?
I think it's about... 6 semesters.
Okay, so probably 2 years, essentially. Yeah, you could do it in...
They're still full-time. I shan't be doing anything part-time. Mm-hmm. You know, I give my 100% to everything I do, so it's important.
And the master's along the same lines, or have you got another subject in mind that you want to follow, or you're open-minded as to where that's going to take you?
Well, the one that's interesting me at the moment is archaeological practice, and that takes you to the next level. It helps you understand, you know, how to apply for a grant, for instance,
okay,
and what you need to do to get that done. As the name implies, all the work involved in actually being at a dig site, what's mm-hmm. involved, etc. Then there are three different branches. One is osteology, marine archaeology, and I think it's forensic archaeology, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Obviously, my focus is osteology.
Bones.
Yes, yeah. Bones. That's so weird.
The bone lady. So where's your favourite site that you visited in the world, or your favourite museum for bones?
For bones. It wouldn't be like that. It would be anywhere and anything. I love the Natural History Museum in
London.
In London.
Yeah.
It's my go-to stop with the kids. I mean, we've got photos as they grow. Yeah.
Sweet.
So very sweet. The museum here in Malta is actually quite fascinating, and the Phoenician wing is beautiful as well. But obviously... now that my thesis was on the Phoenician goddess, so everything Phoenician fascinates me as well. Now, there's no such thing as a favourite museum. It's the test for knowledge.
It's ongoing and ongoing.
So wherever and anywhere.
So now you're happy that the library's back open, you can go and devour as many books as you like. Yes. Is archaeology sexy? Is it kind of got podcasts and followings and stuff like that? Is there an international community that you can plug yourself into?
Well... if you think of it along the lines of Indiana Jones and...
Yes, I'm thinking Murder on the Nile and all of those things, aren't they? They're always archaeological...
It's all Codswallop.
Oh. It's not quite like that, no?
No, it's not. It's quite the opposite. In fact, we'd be very angry if Indiana Jones had to be anywhere next to the archaeology department. He'd be told off in no uncertain terms about his bad, bad practice.
Oh, that's not fair. But... there are places that you still want to go and see then worldwide, or have you, is this just opened the door to you?
There are places in Malta I want to go and see.
Okay.
There's the Schlendi, for instance, wreck, the Phoenician wreck, but that would require me having to take a diving course, but yeah.
You'll do it. Or we can get you a little submarine organised.
Yes, exactly. One or the other. If I put my mind to it, it will happen.
So that's more obviously in the marine archaeology, but is there things within the wreck that are particularly pique your attention?
Again, sorry, top secret.
Oh, okay. Can't talk about that one then. So tell us a bit more then about some bones. What's so fascinating about bones?
Oh, the story they tell. Mm? It's incredible the amount of information you can get out of any amount of set of remains, any assemblage, whether it's mixed, both human and animal. It's the impact. So discovering bones... let's take, for instance, animal bones, right? Mm-hmm. Would you expect to find fish bones in the middle of a forest?
No.
No. But if you did, what would that mean?
Well, I'd hope a bird dropped the fish.
Or human introduction if they were charred.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then timelines. Okay. And you get to understand, okay, this perhaps was a settlement of sorts. This is a place that, you know, kept on recurring. If you find, you know...
More and more and more.
More in different sections.
Ah.
Right? But the bones themselves, they also tell the human story, human bones, perhaps what they died from, mm-hmm. right? Or how old they were, or their sex, or any injuries. And it tells you a story. You can relay the story of someone who died thousands of years ago.
So it really is forensics, isn't it? It's sort of building in...
It can be romantic, you know.
Ah.
You can find out beautiful stories about people. You know, like recently there was an article about the Peruvian princess, who they said she was just, you know, a bright child, et cetera, et cetera. And she wasn't. She was a 7-year-old warrior child.
7 years old?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So she was no princess. Ah. She could fight her own battles. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah. 7 years old. But do you use any, I'm just wondering about, you know, things like DNA and... stuff like that to be able to age these bones, or is there are rules, there are sizes of...
There are markers that indicate, yes, of course, there is DNA, but DNA will tell you the story about, you know, male, female, where they lived, etc. Uh-huh. But there are marks on the bones that tell you, for instance, the suture lines on the skull. Yes, so at different ages, it will tell you how old the person is.
Okay.
So when they close.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then when do you come up with stories in your head as well when you see bodies in a particular, or bones in particular, layouts, I suppose, you know, a couple laying together or something like that? Do you have, you create your own stories?
No. Sadly, I know them all be true.
Oh, okay. Because that's where I'd get carried away. I would have this whole story for them about what they'd just done and what happened to them. And
No.
A bit too factual. Let the science talk, Monique.
Don't be. Yes.
Okay, so where should we go? If we wanted to see something in Malta, do you think the museum in Valletta is the best place to start?
Always start from there.
Yeah.
And then decide which one of the sites would tickle your fancy and take it from there.
Nice. So in there it gives you more information about the...
Oh, yes, no.
So how many sites are in Malta? Because now you've...
Oh, quite a couple.
Uh-huh.
Quite a couple. Between, it depends as well which period you're looking at, if it's the temple period, if it's medieval, if it's, you know, there's quite a bit, if it's Roman.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are different specialities for each of these periods.
Oh, yes. And locally as well. We've got incredible people dedicating their entire lives on this just one subject.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Mm. So this is something we should dig into.
Yeah.
Would you like that?
Very much.
So, on this week's episode of A Degree of Interest, I've been speaking to Nicolette Mifsud, who has recently graduated in archaeology.
No, just archaeology.
Just archaeology. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And will look out for you on your hands and knees in those little beige shorts.
Yeah. Very cliche, but it's true.
It's true. There you go. It's been fascinating. Thanks for coming in and talking to us.